Thanks for joining me for another edition of the Law and Liberty podcast of the Chalcedon Foundation. I am your host, Andrea Schwartz. One of the things we enjoy doing here at Chalcedon is to introduce our listeners to men and women who have been influenced by the writing and teaching of Chalcedon's founder, R.J. Rushdoony, and have applied both to their daily lives. It is not an exaggeration to suggest that since his passing in 2001, 13 years ago, he has become more influential as a new generation of believers are reading his books and taking to heart his message that all areas of life and thought are to be submitted to the law word of Jesus Christ. One such person is Leah McHenry Smith. Leah is a Canadian recording artist from southern British Columbia. Over the past few years, she's released two albums under her own label, Ex Cathedra Records, and is currently raising the funds through a crowdfunding campaign to produce her third studio album. Through these musical ventures, she's managed to gain an international following and place herself on the musical map, all the while staying at home as a full-time mother, homemaker, and homeschooling teacher for her four children. Leah is also a published author, having written Diapers, Dishes, and Dominion back in 2012. She and I have become friends since she, along with a number of other women, has been participating in a study of Dr. Rushdoony's Institutes of Biblical Law, Volume 1, which I conduct via Skype. Welcome, Leah, and thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you, Andrea. It's great to be talking with you.
You know, everybody has a context. We all come from somewhere. So tell us a bit about your childhood and growing up years and how you came to faith in Jesus Christ.
Well, my background was more tumultuous than anything. I grew up in a Christian home, and there's several generations of Christians in my background. And my grandfather was a senior pastor in an evangelical church. Both my parents raised me as Christian. In my early childhood years, they divorced. So it was probably around the age of 10 or 11, around that time, when they separated and divorced, and they separated a couple of times. My childhood was fairly short because of that. So I ended up growing up fairly quickly after that. And then my teenage years just kind of went sideways after that, derailed, so to speak. And I guess I experienced a lot of pain and grief from that divorce. It was a very, very difficult time. And even though I grew up as a Christian, I don't think I understood my faith. And I actually had a whole lot of fears stemming out of the lack of doctrine that came from my past. So I really struggled with eschatological fears and just had been exposed to a variety of different dispensational teachings and it was all very confusing and muddy. So because I'd hear one thing and then hear another thing, and all I had to do was hear the news, and I thought, well, this is it. And I actually got very depressed about it, very depressed and very fearful. And when I met my husband, we got married, this carried into my adult life and was a big part of my life, my fears of end times. And then we had our first child, and I just had all this guilt for having children, because I figured, what are we thinking? Why did we have a child? Why would we bring somebody into this messed up world that's just going to end, or the Antichrist is coming and this is going to be terrible? What a bad mother I am for even having children. And then it was shortly after that that the Lord started bringing new teaching into our lives. And it was the first time we've been exposed to the Reformed theology, and it was through our study of eschatology. And so we started reading books by all kinds of Reconstructionist authors. And it was through that that we came to a Reformed understanding. And I just felt like for the first time in my life, I was finally a Christian. I was finally free. Even though I believed my whole life, I didn't understand freedom in Christ and what that meant. It wasn't until after I was married and had children and was introduced to the Reformed theology that I started to blossom as a Christian.
Would you say that even in the midst of all that turmoil, did your love of music and composition and performance, was that something that was part of your growing up years?
I discovered that I could sing around actually during the time of my parents' divorce. It was probably about that age 10, 11, 12 when I realized, oh, I think I can sing. You know, you just mimic people and then you think, oh, I kind of pulled that off. And then it's through mimicking that you usually kind of find your own way. I kind of, all through my teenage years, I figured out that I could sing, and I would sing at church, and I would sing whenever I had the opportunity. But it wasn't until after I got married that, which is funny because I was now a mother, that's when I actually ended up doing a CD. I guess I kept it as a hobby, but it just turned into something a little more of a serious hobby.
Do you write, compose, and arrange your own music?
Yes, ma'am.
So did you have any formal training as a musician?
Very little. I grew up playing a little bit of piano. My mom's side is musical. So they had me in piano lessons for a few years, but I hated practicing, so I ended up quitting. Then later, when I was around that age, 11, 12, I realized I needed to play in order to write. And I started writing before I could play. So I figured, well, I'm going to have to learn this. So then at that point, I took the little knowledge that I had and put it to use and learned the rest by ear. So I understand a minimal amount to kind of get me by, but I would love to improve on my knowledge of music and formal training.
So I've listened to a number of cuts from your two CDs and hear a variety of instruments. Do you do that electronically, or do you bring musicians into the studio to actually record for you?
Most of it I do myself. I compose it all on the computer. I have a whole range of virtual instruments that are real samples of instruments, and the technology is amazing these days. So it's the next best thing, because the best thing is to have the real thing in the studio, but that is fairly expensive to do unless you have volunteers. So yes, I do compose it all.
Do you think that a lot of the subject matter of your writing comes out of some of the pain that you experienced and some of the accelerated maturity that you had to go through as a result of your parents separating?
Yeah, I think some of it definitely could be that. And also on the opposite spectrum, I think I went to a place of a lot of storytelling because I wanted to get away from the pain. Rather than writing from a place of pain, I was writing out of the pain. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I love all Lord of the Rings and the Narnia series, all that kind of thing, because I wanted to kind of get away from it and release the stress and go somewhere else. So That's kind of what I did for the most part.
So all singers with good voices can sing lots of people's songs, but as you said, there came a point at which you found your voice. Tell me a little bit about the process of how you decided to have the Celtic and folklore and some of the metal influences even in your music.
Well, I guess I just, yeah, it's funny because I wasn't really raised with a whole lot of that. I was raised more with the gospel background, and my dad was a blues guy. He liked the oldies. I grew up with oldies, so I did get some of the rock background that way. I guess I just started really exploring, and I really enjoy all kinds of genres. I've always been I just loved music. So if it was good, I could get into it. It didn't really matter what genre it was. Yeah, I guess I just started picking out some of my favorites, and I really love people like Lorena McKennitt is one. She's a Canadian Irish singer, and she plays the harp, and she's just got really lovely music. So things like that, where I would just kind of draw different influences from things that I liked, and I kind of just made an amalgam of it all.
I'm sure a question that people are asking is, how does a full-time mother and homemaker who is homeschooling four children have the time and energy to be a recording artist?
That's a really good question. Most of the time I joke around and just say, well, I find the time to write music just like some people find the time to knit or scrapbook or do whatever they like to do on the side. But, I mean, it is getting to the point where it's a lot more of a serious hobby than I thought. So, I mean, I just kind of look at it as a Proverbs 31 thing, where I'm using the talents I have and basing it out of my house as much as possible. And the great thing is that these days with the internet and with the technology, I don't have to go anywhere. I can pretty much do my music whenever I decide to do it and whenever I can fit it around my family. So today I was working on it during nap time.
Now, as a writer, I know that I'll write and try to perfect what I'm writing, and then I send it to an editor, and I always say that my editor makes me look good because she's in a position to help clarify thinking, take out extraneous sentences. Do you have that in music? Do you put together something and then submit it to someone who acts as an editor?
I don't have that. The best person would be like a producer, and I have had a producer in the past. Like on my first album, I did have a producer. Most of the time now, I self-produce. But there's definitely a role for producers, and I actually wish I had one from time to time, just because it is nice to bounce ideas off them, or if you need some help with arrangement or you're stuck, they can have all kinds of ideas. And just, yeah, it can end up turning out a little more polished that way, ironing out any kinks. For my upcoming album that I'm raising funds for at the moment, I'll probably have a combination of just producing myself and then also bouncing it off the fellow musicians and the mixing guy and all of that.
It's interesting because I know for a lot of people, they will purchase a CD or download something and really don't have a concept of what it takes to put together something like that.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, especially if you're writing it, composing it, singing it, and then I record a lot of the pre-production myself at home, so all the vocals, all the pianos, all the synthesizers. Just to clarify, I'm not playing drums, guitar, or bass. Those instruments I always hire out.
So I imagine, well, your children, probably this is who mom is, but your husband has to be pretty supportive of this because this is not knitting and it's not scrapbooking. It's obviously more than that in terms of time and attention you have to give to it. Does he have a background in music or does he just like to hear you sing?
He doesn't really have a background in music. That's probably the least thing that we have in common is music. But he enjoys it and he's, you know, my biggest fan and all of that. But he doesn't get my music, you know, the way that other people are into it. It's pretty funny. But yeah, he's very supportive and yeah, he just says, yeah, go for it, honey. And we're totally on the same team as far as what I'm putting into it. And I'm always asking him for advice and bouncing things off him and asking, what should I do now? And do you like this song? And all of that.
And that's good. That's good, especially because he can give you sort of the every guy's perspective because he's not a musician. I know sometimes when you're dealing just with people within your craft, it's easy to get apart from, you know, the average person who's going to listen to it.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Yeah, he can just listen to it as like the average Joe, somebody who maybe isn't, you know, exposed to my style all the time. So he can just look at it from a little more of an objective perspective.
Okay, so in what ways has the study of biblical law affected the various roles you carry out between mothering and being a wife and being a teacher and being a singer?
Basically, it's affected more my character than anything else and my purpose for why I'm doing anything. It also affects my encounters with people behind the scenes and the conversations I'm having and how I'm dealing with situations and just getting to minister to people that I think would normally be inaccessible to the average Christian. So as far as on the musician end of things, there's all kinds of people. I've got a very wide range of people listening to my songs. A lot of them are even atheists. A lot of them are into other religions. And they come and listen to my songs, and it seems to just completely break down these walls that if I were to just come out and start preaching to them, they might say, I don't want to listen to you. But they're singing along with my lyrics, and my lyrics have a lot of scripture references in them. So I'm happy with that, and little do they know, but those seeds are actually getting planted somewhere along the way. So that's pretty cool. And then as far as my role goes as mother, homeschool, and all that, I feel like my study of the biblical law, it just affects my relationships with my children and my husband as well, anybody. Like I said, it's changed my character and the way I perceive my relationship with the Lord and how I'm interacting to any kind of given situation that's coming up, whether it's just discipline or why are we learning? What are we learning? Why are we learning it? What's the point? What's the point of doing math? You know, and I have to explain that to my 8-year-old. And, you know, God wants us to learn about his creation. He wants us to learn logic. He wants to learn how things relate to one another because he has an important job for you in your life, and you need to understand what that is. So, yeah, it's really is such a comprehensive thing that my life is just so different now since I've been introduced to biblical law and just victorious eschatology and the Reformed theology. It's really been life-changing.
You know, at Chalcedon, we make a point to emphasize that the kingdom of God is and should be the primary focus of believers, and that family life, homeschooling, and callings should all be pointed in that direction. How do you view what you do in terms of the kingdom of God?
I recently have felt very convicted to use my music more purposefully than I have even in the past. In the past, it was more of just a fun thing for me. I didn't really know if it would go anywhere. But now I have an audience, and they pay attention to everything I say and do, and they listen to everything I put out. And so now I feel much more of a responsibility to declare the authority of God into some of these spaces that people are listening. And part of that is being in the genre I'm in, which is kind of a mix, there's a lot of darkness out there. And so I'm really excited about the fact that I get to sing into some of the darkness, and that and some of my new and upcoming songs that I'm going to be producing on this new album, there's a lot of scripture, there's a lot of scriptural references, a lot of anti-tyranny themes, and about just God bringing down the strongholds of tyrannical powers, that kind of thing. And I've just kind of wrapped it up in, you know, Narnia type language so that the average listener isn't going to put up a wall. So I just feel like I'm called to be a little more purposeful about it and just declaring the authority of God and that he's on the throne into some of these dark corners of the earth where people aren't expecting it and might not normally hear it. So it's kind of turning into more of a ministry than I ever thought it would.
So tell us about the latest project. You've made reference to the fact that it's in the works and that you're raising money for it. Why don't you tell us the name of the project and what you hope to accomplish? How is this one different than the previous two?
So I'm doing a thing called a crowdfunding, and it basically, it takes out the middleman of a label. And I think that there's a place for labels in the industry, but it's changing a lot. The whole music industry is completely changing since just the internet and the accessibility of technology to the artists themselves. So just being able to, like, I can distribute online to all of the main media outlets, iTunes and Spotify and all the places. I can do it myself without needing a label to do that. So if you have a fan base, you can do what they call crowdfunding, where it's a campaign fundraiser and your fans raise the money and you give them all kinds of things in return. So if they say donate $20, they get a t-shirt, or it's whatever you make it. So for $10, you can get a digital download. So it's a thank you, but it's almost like pre-ordering it in a way, pre-ordering the album. But they're investing into you because they believe in you and they believe in what you're doing and your project. The downside would be that you do need a pre-existing following, I think, to make it successful. We're, I think, 3 weeks in, and we raised over $10,000, so that's awesome. We still have a ways to go, but we'll see what happens. My campaign is being hosted on Indiegogo.com. If you just do a search for full-length Leah album, it'll be there, or you can just go to my website, leahmusic.net, and it's right there on the front page as well.
So for people who will be introduced to your music who weren't aware of you before, how would you say, or what would you say is the message that you want to come out of this particular project you're working on? Can you sum it up in a couple of sentences?
Yeah, I think the message, the theme that I'm going with is basically what's really on my heart right now is current events, but also how parallel they are to historical events. So I'm always thinking of the Tower of Babel and how God allowed that tower to be built for a little ways before he intervened, and how these men thought that they were going to centralize power and they were going to outsmart God and they would be just like him and they'd set up their own throne and their own kingdom, and it's this whole counterfeit thing. And how similar that is to today, and that men are trying to do the exact same thing. They're trying to centralize it all. They've got these schemes going on, and they think they're going to outsmart God. I think this is really relevant to today, but it's also historical. And he's done it. This has happened a number of times throughout history where people have tried to do this, and God always stops them. They may get to a certain point, but he will always intervene. So I think that's going to really come through on this album. There's a few songs that I've just written recently that are very specific to that. And just the warfare aspect, the spiritual warfare aspect that's going on. So, yeah, I think you can expect that. And I mix it up with a little bit of Celtic mythology in there and just make it a little more palatable to the non-Christian audience. But little do they know, they're getting a Bible message in it.
So in a lot of ways, and we hope there's lots of them who are listening to your music, that they actually do encounter the gospel and they do encounter the Bible, I imagine one of your goals is that they'll say, oh, that's what she was talking about.
Yeah, and actually people are starting to pick it up now, and I've just seen a few YouTube comments lately, and oh, I heard she's a Christian, and well, that's awesome. I've always wanted to find music like this that was Christian, you know, and it's just really neat that people are, they're very hungry. They're very hungry out there, and there's a lot of just, like I said, darkness, and some people are embracing that, but they are starving for truth. And so this is just kind of what started out as a hobby is turning into a little bit more of a ministry, but I think my main goal is to now do something meaningful with it.
This morning when I was sampling some of your stuff, my husband was like, who's that? He said, you tell her, I like her music. So you made another fan today.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
So give the website information again.
Sure. So my website is leahmusic.net, and all my campaign information and social media buttons are there. Or you can go to indiegogo.com and do a search for full-length Leah album, and it'll pop up.
Well, I want to thank our listeners for tuning into this. And instead of signing off with our regular theme for the Law and Liberty podcast, I am going to give you a sample of one of Leah's songs from her album Earth and Angels. And of all the ones I listened today, this one particularly, I really liked it. It's called A Thousand Years. So, Leah, thank you, and we'll be keeping tabs on you.
Thank you, Andrea. Take care.
Walking through the door, so unknown I am afraid, but that won't hold me down. You take my hand, you take my first step too. I won't forget to remember. All this cost.